the session on the very important and very powerful subject of death. I'm letting him take it from there and tell us more about it.
If you think James is not here today, the subject of death. Sometimes if people have asked me as to why have you chosen this subject to, some people think that it's something to be afraid of, something which is not nice. It breaks you away from ones you love. Hence, it's horrific. In fact, the mother used to say that many people think that death is a horror. That's a good word to use, it, horror. So then why all this drama that takes place in this world of being born and going through the same cycle all over again, and then you die, and then you come back again, and you... So it seems almost ridiculous. And whoever has created this world must be someone who doesn't know what he's doing about. A lot of people who believe that this all this cycle that goes on is worthless, and therefore the best is to not to be born again. And then came Shankaracharya, and the Buddha, and said the best thing is to go deeper in, break the chains, and not be born again. Because there is no point, it's worthless, going around and around in circles. This has been a very, very long... recently there is very two lovely books which have come out, when in which there's a big comparison which has been drawn between Shankaracharya and what Sri Aurobindo has written. Shankaracharya was of the view that this is the whole world is like a dog's tail which will never straighten. Hence there is no point in carrying on over here. And our purpose is to break the chains and not be born again. Hence he gave a whole system of science as to how you can go deep within and live in absolute silence in the lap of God always. His Buddha's gift to the world is immense. The fact that we could go deep within and live in silence in itself is a great gift. But what Sri Aurobindo says is it does not end over there. It does not just end with entering into an absolute and total silence, a permanent silence. But then what then? Once you have received silence, what do you do with that silence? And that's what he taught us, as to what you do with the silence once you've got it. You move on. It's like, if you stop there, just to break your chains, it means you're getting off midstream from the boat. You have not reached the other end, which is to use the silence to pass on the message of absolute dynamism. And that's what Sri Aurobindo's teaching is all about. So, death is a fascinating subject, enigmatic. It causes fear, it causes a feeling of mystery that what is this ordeal all about, and fear of pain that might take place when I die, and what happens to me when I go beyond? Is there a beyond? Or am I just cremated or buried? Or given to the vultures? Or something else happens afterwards? The more we have gone deeper and deeper into the writing to Sri Aurobindo and the mother on death, the more fascinating it has become. Something that he must know more about. What is death, for instance? Death is normally you stop breathing, you die. You're motionless, you become cold, and you reach a point where you begin to swell, hence you are buried or cremated. Sri Aurobindo goes way beyond that. He says that is not just death. That's the first step. You have the body, you have life, that's the vital, and you also have the mental part. Because the body is more perishable, it perishes first. And then comes the vital, which goes through a phase of all kinds of labyrinths and problems and darknesses and all kinds of things, that, which we call hell. Which is, Christians call hell, is what is really the hell, the period when we pass through to the golden light. As they want to call it. The mind outlasts even life. And that is why you find sometimes when you die, some of us remember the past. I knew a friend of mine, a gentleman called K.K. Modi. And he was 3 years old and he knew who he was in the previous birth. And he said, I was the pujari in such and such town, such and such place, and I was there and died on such and such, etc., etc. And they went to that village and found that, yes, this was true, and that his name was this. And he carried forward that memory for a very short period of 5 years or so. It happened in such cases because the mind does outlast the vital and just the emotional being. And the body, of course. Now what happens after you die is another story. What I wanted to discuss today with you was, and I want the feedback from all of you, is that why do we die? We die because we feel we grow old, or you know, and slowly your health begins to dwindle and become weak, etc. And finally your body just gives up, that's the normal way. So and you keep seeing the clock ticking, and that now it's 81, it's now 82, it's 19, 95, etc. So I'm going nearer and nearer to death. This is not true. We die, which as Mother explains very, very clearly, that when we take birth, a certain amount of rigidity is given to us as matter. When consciousness enters matter, etc., there's a certain amount of rigidity because matter has to be given individuality to become slowly evolve. And it is so rigid that evolution is very slow in matter. That's why from matter to plant, to animal, etc., it takes a long time. Whereas the consciousness, the universal consciousness, moves much faster. So we evolve, our mind evolves, our vital evolves, our body evolves in consciousness, along with the universal consciousness, or the divine consciousness, as the mother calls it. But because the divine consciousness moves fast, it takes us along, all the three aspects of our life, for a while. Ultimately, the gap between our consciousness, that is the three levels of consciousness, and the divine consciousness begins to widen. The disharmony between all the levels of consciousness begins to increase. And when that happens, as the one which is more rigid slowly cracks up. The cells of the body, which are tightly held together by the slowly begins to loosen and begins to disseminate. And slowly, and death comes about because it reaches a point where the soul, our soul which evolves, comes to the conclusion that now this particular vessel is not good enough for me to do my work. Hence, I have to move on and do this job through another vessel. And another. And with each change that takes place, each transformation that takes place, the growth goes faster and faster. So the question that arose is that hence death is inevitable? She said yes. Today, it is inevitable. Tomorrow, it is not. This gap that increases between the levels of consciousness slowly starts bridging over a period of time. What my level of consciousness is, where the flexibility is of my three levels in which I live, is going to be much different to what it will be the next time. I did not quote from Sri Aurobindo. He says, you cannot abolish death, but you may transform it into a greater living. Beautiful. You cannot abolish death as of today, and Mother said, no, you cannot. But you may transform it into a greater living. How do you transform it? The question that was put to the mother. What do you do with the body? It is as it is today and is perishable. And how do we not make it perishable? This question was put to her very clearly. And she gave me the example of physical education, which she teaches in the ashram. He said, in physical education, attempts at awakening the cells of the body, of the physical. And once the cells begin to awaken, you find that the life gets longer, healthier. The gap between the divine evolution consciousness and that of the body will begin to narrow. The closer it gets, the longer is your life, the more healthier is your life, your mind is more acute. These are the obvious signs that you will find. If you just look at this. 50 years ago, they used to say, after 55, you're on borrowed time. and you retired at the age of 55. Today, can you imagine yourself retiring at 55? It's impossible. You're at your peak at 55. Now, after a while, they said, and after 60, you are on borrowed time. Then they said, you after 70, you are on borrowed time. Now they say, after 80, you are on borrowed time. Slowly, slowly, it will be after 90, you are on borrowed time. Why is this happening? Longevity is taking place automatically. Over a period of time, it's going to happen. Of course, you. So what should we do? How do I awaken the cells of my body? How do I make my body pray? My mind prays. My heart prays. How do I make my body pray? So the mother said that every action of yours should be dedicated to me. Whatever you might do, you sit in a chair, you go have a shower, you eat, you go for a walk, you do whatever you might do, just keep me there in my heart and I will awaken the cells of your body. So your body must be. As they say that the work is the body's best prayer. This is what she has quoted. That whatever you do, you offer it to me. And you find that in your cells of your body will begin to awaken. And when that awakening begins, the narrowness begins to be closer and closer and closer, and it gets better and better. One day you will be here, and you say 150, after 150 you are born of time. It's coming. We try our best. If we make an effort, it'll be much, much faster. If from 55 to this it has happened, when we have not collaborated, we have hardly collaborated. At least you and us, we are sitting together talking about this. How many people talk about this? How many people even know about this? That this is possible. That is there. It has to happen. Even the Lord Rama has said in the Ramayana that everyone who is born has to die. It's true. But it was so at that time because he was an avatar, he was projecting something, he was trying to establish a totally another truth called Maryada Purushottam, which he did. For that, it was at that time, even when Lakshmana, he was crying, the Lord himself was crying, but he was an avatar. He had to behave like a human being. But what we are talking of, this twin avatar, which has come to finally transform the body, transform our emotional being, transform our mental consciousness. And at one point when the unity takes place, there is no need for death. And she says so. There is no need for death because there is no need for destruction. Death is brought in because to destroy something which is imperfect. The divine consciousness cannot allow imperfection to continue. Hence, it must end. Slowly and slowly this imperfection becomes lesser and lesser and lesser. Then you say, after 150 or after 170 or after 200, you are on borrowed time. Then there is no more time after that. It's all over. So, she was asked that means there will be no death. Yes, if there is complete transformation, it means there is no death. Ichamrita, you leave when you want to, stay with as long as you want to, do his work as I want to. When Vivekananda was asked, for instance, he had achieved silence. And when they asked him that, Swamiji, when you come back, you have now the right to stay on. No, not stay on. Go out of the cycle altogether. He said, yes, I have. But I'll keep on coming because I want again and again to come back to do his work. But that was his wish. He willed it. He reached that point, which Sri Aurobindo had reached in Alipur jail, for instance, where he talked of Nirvana, etc., which never happened. And of course, he grew after 1926 onwards, after his descent that it took place. Then it just grew at an amazing pace. He made a statement that only if man would give his consent to change. Do I want to change? If I want to change, I will change. Because you reach out to the Lord and say, I don't like myself. I don't like my thoughts. I don't like the envy and the anger and the hatred that I carry in my heart. And all that when my body suffers, so etc. So I feel a sense of disgust. I said, what's the point of my staying on? He said, all this should go away, provided you want to change. Introspection, for instance. How much are we introspecting? How many times do we remember the mother? Normally, you should be asking, how many times do I forget her? It's the other way around. How many times do I remember her? He said, the more you remember me, remember that I am remembering you at that time when you remember me. Now, this is it. But if this is true, which is true, of course, the fact that, can you imagine that when I think of her, even now, she's thinking of me. What a beautiful feeling. That she would be thinking about me. And if she's thinking about me, that all what she is pouring into me. A death, what Sri Aurobindo says, is necessary to push you to a point where you break this mold. If there is no mold to break, there is no death. Death has a role to play. You know, in Savitri, which all of you read the Savitri and in your sessions, reading sessions, where there's a talk between Savitri and Yama. And he said, why are you so afraid? I've done you people such good. You're suffering and I take your suffering away. And I give you a new chance, I give you a new life. Why are you so afraid? What will happen? But still, I will not let Satyavan go. Because Satyavan represents the ultimate human being, the perfect human being. And I will not let him go because I am here to perfect the world. I am here to create perfection in all human beings. Hence, Satyavan must not go. The battle was there, basically. But if you see the dialogue between the Lord of Death and... So she tells him, take off your mask, because I know who you are. You are the Lord himself. You're playing a role. But now your time is gone. And when, if you see in Savitri, when the discussion going on, the talk goes on between the Mighty Mother and her, and she calls Yama, thank you very much for what you have done for my creation, because your role was not a pleasant one. But it was necessary, but now your work is over. stay on for a while, but your work is now over. And ultimately, when the last bit, when she has the dialogue with the Lord Himself directly, tells her exactly, take Satyavan back, because Satyavan represents the ultimate Purusha. So, it's all a question of how we respond, how we want to change. Do we realize that we should change, or are we perfect? It's the pain and the suffering which makes you change. Again, in Savitri, you have this thing of suffering. The Narada talks of suffering, etc., etc. But how this pain and suffering makes you change and makes you better? It gives you a jolt and you move on. But to understand, therefore, we have, I think it's our duty to understand that. With each breath, she said, you must remember me. Till your last breath, you must remember me. It does not matter what age you are. But you must remember me. And do my work. What work can I do if I'm lying in bed, paralyzed like a fool? What work will I do? He says, you can. You can from deep within there. You work for me. Mother, you order me. What should I do? What should I be next in my next birth? I want to work for you. There's so many of them in the ashram who have said, Mother, I want to come back. I feel that I have not done enough and I must come back. And the Shadhanu is one of them. She named the person as to who Siddharu used to be in the ashram. And there are many such cases where you say, no, I want to be with you. Till the last second of my breath, I want to be with you. Even if I'm in pain, whatever it might be, don't let my hand go. I want to be with me all the time. And he says, when the time does come, remember me. And also you pray to me that I am with you, that my presence is with you all the time. Death becomes a beautiful journey. If you have read the Greek mythology, it talks of crossing a river. In our Hindu mythology also, the river Vaitarani, the river which you cross when you die, again is crossing. So when Sri Aurobindo explains this, depending upon what kind of life that I've led you, you go through a tough period, you move to darkness, to half living beings and etc., etc. You go through a lot of heat and problems, various things. Ultimately, she takes you through this sunlit path. On the other hand, she said, if you are with me and you're holding my hand at the time you die, you will not go through that. You will go straight through the sunlit path where I take care of you. I can show you today when we're discussing, talking about each one of us is only thinking of her alone. We are totally with her. And she said, once I have seen you, once I have held your hand, you don't have to worry. I will take you. Death is something that should not be feared. It is a mystery because we don't know what really happens. But then you read what was Sri Aurobindo written, then you know there's a book which is. It's a mother's book printed in Aurobindo. It's Death Does Not Exist, that's the title of it. in which part of it is explained after what happens after death is by Sri Aurobindo himself. Death does not exist. So, there's another quote of Himadayanda. This is a beautiful book which, if you ever feel like understanding the significance of death. This, we, All India Magazine, we brought it out in December 2011. Suddenly this book has cropped up. And being circulated now to so many of us, so many people. Because more and more people want to know, what is death all about? Are things as futile as they seem? If so, then what kind of a world has he created? So you go more deeper into that. This is thoughts and glimpses of Sri Aurobindo. Death is the question nature puts continually to life and has reminded to it that it has not yet found itself. Life has not found itself as yet. Find yourself, find your life, hand it over to me and I will look after it. Death is a question nature puts continually to life and has reminded to it that it has not found itself as yet. We have not found ourselves. Otherwise, there would be no fear. There would be no uncertainty as to what's going to happen. I think the more we go deeper into this, Mother said that when you are in any kind of difficulty, because we always remember her only when you have a problem, you know. When the problem depletes, our remembrance depletes. When the problem goes away, remembrance also goes away. It's unfortunate, but true. Yeah. She said, just don't let go. Just don't let go. And I will hold your hand. Is my promise. So, death is a reminder of life. Death is a reminder of growth. Death is a reminder of ultimate perfection and transformation as we are doing the call. That is why she, so much in the ashram, you find 50% of the education is on the body. The body must, the cells of the body must awaken, because that is, the body is the most matter, what you call in Hindi, tas, like tas, you know, it's concrete, absolutely concrete. It has to loosen up and open to me. Therefore, 50% of the time, then she talks of the body. She talks of physical education. This is a subject which is a lot of us are now talking about. I would suggest you read this. We'll get a few more thousand copies printed on this and distributed, because it is so clearly mentioned what is what, why it should happen, etc., why it should not happen. It's so clear that it's not that death is inevitable, but because death is necessary. It is necessary to change, and unless this took place, your imperfection will continue. And imperfection cannot continue. The Lord cannot allow it to continue. Therefore, hence change has to take place. He talks of the fear of death. How do you avoid the fear of death? The old age and death it speaks of, because old people think that now it's coming to an end. Why you were quite be heading for a place and say you borrow time only after you're 100? So why worry when you're 90? As you said, you're as old. Your age plus 10 years is what your old age is. So no old age. 90 plus 10, you'll be old at 100. When you get 100, then plus 10, so you'll be 110. If you look at it, life. And if you remember here all the time. So she talks of fear. How to avoid fear? One is, you look at it very philosophically. And I have to die. So, something which is inevitable, why worry about? Why have you said? Can you avoid it? No, I can't avoid it. So if you cannot avoid it, then why, what is the point? Because once you have been conquered by fear, you are not going to conquer that fear again. It's not possible. Hence, since you are, it is inevitable, lots of my grandfather, I remember, he was a great philosopher, he used to say, अरे मरना तो है तो क्या फर्क पड़ता आई कैन डू एनीथिंग अबाउट इट आई कैन स्टॉप इट सो माय बॉडी दैट्स वन एस्पेक्ट द अदर इज यू रिमेंबर हर ऑल द टाइम आई एम नॉट अफ्रेड ऑफ एनीथिंग बिकॉज यू आर विद मी आई एम रिमेंबरिंग यू एंड आई नो देयरफॉर यू आर रिमेंबरिंग मी हेंस आई हैव नो फियर ऑफ डेथ. Thirdly, I know what happens because your window has explained what happens. That if you are with me, you are going to take me through this sunlit path. And I am talking to God. So, I have your presence and I have this strength to understand the philosophy. I am a philosopher, I know it's God. She said, therefore, these things should make you believe that there is nothing to worry about. Nothing to fear. Some people are so, I know so many people in the ashram, 95, 97, 98. Some are suffering, some are in pain, some want to go. Mother said, never ever do this. Never want to leave. Whatever they may be, whatever pain you're in, does not matter. You still are with me and I'm looking out. Never ever say that I want to leave. Enough is enough. Never give up. There used to be a gentleman called Dikshitji, I remember, in Pondicherry. He was 99, I think. He was like this. His bones were twisted. But he will go for much, much faster. At the same pace he would go as a 19-year-old would. Fantastic. And 99-year-old fellow is looking for his 100th, looks forward to his 100th birthday, because on my birthday I meet her. So I want one more year to say hello to her. That is the day she holds my hand and says, come with me, I'll take you through. So don't count in figures. Don't think you're 83, you're 93, or you're 73. It does not matter. Your father 94. I wish he would listen to this talk. It would apply to him. He bounces back. But he bounces back because, not because of this reason, because of other reasons. because he's not supposed to die, his destiny, etc. Destiny is another thing, before I finish. We believe, all of us, that if it is so written, it will be. It is true that there is a destiny which it cannot be changed, it's cast iron, etc. But Mother also says that if you rise in your consciousness, the iron chain, which they say cannot be broken, you'll find that you go beyond that chain and that destiny will not apply to you. I'll give you an example. This is an example that somebody gave me who knows exactly what he was talking about. Suppose you're driving down and you have an accident, you break your leg. And if you have risen in consciousness through remembrance, through just pure remembrance of the Mother, just be with me, I'm going for a drive, and this, please be with me. And you will find that you rise and you get another vision and you find this is one more way out. And you turn around there where there is no accident. Destiny changes. Each level of consciousness has a separate destiny. So it's a continuous change of destiny takes place as a continuous increase in consciousness takes place. Something which is the truth today will not be the one which is truth tomorrow. It's a continuous progress that takes place. And when that progress we don't collaborate with is the problem, is the friction that takes place. Is the pain that takes place. When we don't want to collaborate and we're trying to swim against the tide, that's when the problem. All we have to do, as Sri Aurobindo says, consent to change. Just say, yes, I'm ready.
Why I know many of us have young children who die, or the untimely deaths.
Accidents,
war. So then this thing of the changing destiny that you're talking about, or maybe somebody who's like 2 or 3, it's...
Yeah, because...
How does that then... But yeah. Well, then maybe it's not a conscious thing of, okay.
But then, for instance, in Gujarat, Bhuj, when the earthquake took place, there were thousands of kids. It was 26th of January. Then buildings, both sides came in. So, this was the question that was put to the Mother. Was it collective destiny then? What really happened? She said nature is marching away blindlessly towards a particular target which has been given to her, which is Prakriti, which the person has given it. And we are a part of that universal nature. Same universe. She said, when you go for a walk, do you realize how many ants you have stepped on? You don't know. You have not killed them, but you don't even know. That's exactly what happens to those thousands of kids that died. Had they been conscious enough, they would have taken another route altogether. Because nature will go on where it has to go. It cannot be stopped. So that's why I say collaborate. Tell your children, the time has come now. Okay, I didn't know then. But the time has come where we have to consciously remember and collaborate. Even if you are supremely happy, more so, with a feeling of gratitude, you made me feel like this. Thank you. If you're in pain, you always, you run to the masjid, you run everywhere. But when you're happy, with that sense of gratitude, thank you. It will not happen. You will rise in consciousness. There is no doubt about it. Changing consciousness is an accepted thing. And it has to happen. Because it. Tell me, does it make sense if you look at it from an angle? First time when I was given, my soul was given a body, say my body. Who wrote my destiny? God wrote my destiny. So it was decided, you will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. Hence that whatever that he had written will determine my next birth. And then the third birth, the fourth birth, the fifth birth. It means once with what was written will affect me right long as my soul is evolving. Now, how is it my fault? Am I a puppet? That if so, then what kind of world has he created? She explains this, talks about it like this. And she said, therefore, it cannot be like this. It has to change. You don't collaborate. Why don't you agree to collaborate? Why don't you agree to change? Why don't you introspect more and see the own faults? And I don't want these, take it away. And she used to say like this, why don't you give them to me? I'm ready to take them. Give me your problems. Give me your weaknesses. And I will take care of them. But you don't do it. Now today, you can't say that I didn't know. If you know, your children should also know, no? And still, if I don't tell my children, then who's born to this? And that's why the message has to spread. That's why Sri Aurobindo Society has been creative. If you see what she has written, the whole mandate given to the society is to spread Sri Aurobindo's message. And let people realize what the truth is. And that it does not, that what it seems is not what it is. It is way, way beyond that. No worries about one's children, we all do. Our job is to worry about your children. They produce them, say, worry about them. But you can pray for them, at least. Pass it on. Explain it. This is it, the actual truth is like this. Explain. When you're happy, especially when you're happy, there should be a sense of gratitude. Gratitude is the biggest divine virtue. As the mother said, the biggest divine virtue is gratitude. In Kabir, if I make, I'll have to say this in Hindi, if you don't mind. In Kabir, there is a couplet, a doha. Dukh mein simran sab kare, sukh mein kare na koi. Sukh mein jo simran kare, to dukh kahe bhoi. It will not happen. It is not that it will stop it. No, it will not happen. Because there is no need for it. This is the beauty of the Torah. Kabir, in two lines, has really put an ocean into it. That if you pray when you're happy, why will unhappiness come? But there's no need for it. I give a knock on your head, I give you pain, and then you come to me. If I don't give you pain, then you will not come to me. But if you come to me, then why should I give you pain? It's as simple as that. Sukhme simran, dukhme simran sab kare, sukhme karin rakhoi. And sukhme jo simran kare, dukh hai ko. Two lines. He just summarized the entire life, entire creation. There's a beautiful little poem written by a lady. She read out. When she is grumbling, fighting with God, that whenever I need you, you're not around. And what sort of friend are you, etc., etc. Then she writes, saying that one day I had gone shopping and I met God on the way. He had also gone shopping. And I started shouting that, you know, you, what sort of friend are you, etc. You let me down. And God replied to her, why are you getting so angry? I call you all the time. I'm always calling you. I'm always thinking of you. But you got your ears shut. You got too much wisdom in your head. You refuse to listen to me. So what can I do? But I want you not to be unhappy. Hence, I give you a knock on your head. When I give you a knock on your head, there's pain. And then you come running to me. You are shouting at me, but come running to me. So what can I do? Why do you need that pain to come to me? Come to me without that pain. Do kai kai.